Hello, this is Chris Nair here from the research team here at J.P. Morgan, and up next we have Supernus Pharmaceuticals, and with us we have CEO Jack Khattar. With that, I'll hand it over to you, Jack.
Good morning, or good afternoon, I should say. Thanks so much for attending the presentation. Before I get started, just want to make sure, just remind everyone that I'll be making forward-looking statements, so please check the SEC filings for all the risk factors associated with the business. Very quickly, for those of you who may not know us very well, we've been actually around for more than 25 years. For many years, we operated as a division of Shire Pharmaceuticals and developed many products, 10 of which are on the market today, including three of which are ours, Supernus. Supernus spun out of Shire at the end of 2005, and we started building our own pharmaceutical business. So we develop products like Adderall XR, Intuniv, Mydayis, all in the ADHD space, as well as Carbetrol in epilepsy, and even products like Orenitram for United Therapeutics, which was launched in 2014. So as far as Supernus is concerned, we have a very robust portfolio of CNS products with Oxtellar XR and Trokendi XR in epilepsy. Those products were launched in 2013, continue to grow extremely well, and I'll share with you these data. And most recently, in April of 2017, we launched Trokendi XR in migraine as a new indication for that product. Behind these two very strongly growing products, we have a very exciting pipeline in psychiatry, and that is SPN-810 for impulsive aggression. This is an indication for which there are currently no products approved for the treatment of impulsive aggression. It's a very widely prevalent disease in ADHD, in autism, schizophrenia, across many disorders. Also, we have SPN-812, which is also in phase III. That is a novel non-stimulant product for the treatment of ADHD, as well as a couple other opportunities with Oxtellar XR and bipolar, which I'll share with you the exciting opportunity in that space, and SPN-809 for depression. Our performance has been really stellar since we launched our products, Oxtellar XR and Trokendi XR, in 2013. You'll see here the growth in the net sales, which is about, on a compounded annual growth rate, about, you know, more than 45%. It's really been very great success behind these products. Behind the net sales, obviously growing operating income since we became profitable, a CAGR of more than 100%. And this reflects the latest guidance that we gave back in November for 2017. So what's behind this great growth in the business? It's really very solid prescription growth. So what you're looking at here are the annual prescriptions for Oxtellar XR and Trokendi XR on the left side of the page, 2013 through 2016, reaching about 500,000 prescriptions in total for both brands. And then the most recent in 1Q through 3Q 2017, growing about 29%. And actually, year-to-date IMS through November, which is the last data point we have, Trokendi XR grew in 2017 through November 39% versus prior year, and Oxtellar XR about 12%. Combined for the business, 32% growth. So very extremely high growth rates behind the two products and very good execution behind them. So as far as the potential of these products, we continue to believe that both of these products in the neurology space will be more than $500 million combined, just in epilepsy and migraine. That's the pie on this chart that is on the left side of the chart, representing both epilepsy and migraine potential of both products. So our guidance, that the latest guidance we talked about in November, again, for 2017, which is the $290-$295, obviously we're well on our way to achieving more than $500 million. And actually, those levels in 2017 only represent the penetration of these markets by only 3%-4%. So we're still in the very early innings, we believe, as far as the growth of these two products. In addition to that, on the right side of this chart, you'll see a very exciting opportunity for us on Oxtellar XR in bipolar. And only assuming a 5% penetration of the bipolar market just in the epilepsy sector for epileptic drugs that are used for bipolar, if I only assume a 5% penetration, that's more than $300 million opportunity for Oxtellar XR. So tremendous growth for both products. We're only, again, in the early innings of growth of these two products. And the reason for this success so far is two things. I always say you have to really have very good products that actually present to the patients very good clinical benefits. And that's what we have with Oxtellar XR and Trokendi XR. And what you're looking here at is the phase III data on Oxtellar XR showing remarkable difference in the side effect profile versus trileptal phase 3 data. And actually, both sets of these data are on our label with the Oxtellar XR product. Oxtellar XR at 2,400 milligram per day, which is the blue bars, shows amazing reduction in incidence of side effects versus trileptal at half the dose. This is really incredible if you really think about it from the patient perspective, from the physician perspective. So you as a physician now can titrate a patient to 2,400 milligram per day and get much better potentially side effects than if you had given that patient immediate release twice a day trileptal at 1,200 milligram. That really changes the whole treatment paradigm of that product behind an extended-release formulation of the same molecule. And that data from the phase 3 is actually panning out in the marketplace. So what you're looking at here is chart reviews of actual patients, so following patients in the marketplace, looking at about 100 patients on Oxtellar XR versus 100 patients on immediate-release oxcarbazepine, which is given twice a day. Ours is once a day. You'll see remarkable differences in the number of missed doses. Naturally, once a day gives you much more compliance. And if you are compliant and you're taking your medication, what's going to happen is you're going to have much more reduced breakthrough seizures, and therefore you're less likely to go to the emergency room and you're less likely to be hospitalized. So these are really meaningful products that are introducing to the patients amazing clinical benefits behind them. And similarly on Trokendi XR, this is a recent retrospective chart review. Again, this is data from what patients are experiencing out in the marketplace, what physicians are seeing in the marketplace. You'll see a remarkable difference between Trokendi XR and the immediate release topiramate, which is given twice a day. Ours is once a day. Significant reduction in cognitive effects. Topiramate is very well known to cause major cognition issues for folks, whether it's memory, searching for words, verbal fluency, and so forth. It was about 28% incidence with the immediate release twice a day, and it's only 6% with Trokendi XR. Another major side effect with topiramate is paresthesia, which is very scary for a lot of patients, especially when they get it first. And we cut that down from 12% to only 2%. So significant improvement when patients get the chance to try these products and make a big difference for them. And clearly very strong efficacy as far as the reduction in mongering. Now, when you have great products, you also need to have excellent execution, obviously, in launching these products. And we've been really fortunate to have an amazing team on the commercial side to really execute some of the best launches in epilepsy and migraine. What you're looking at here is the prescriptions on a monthly basis for Trokendi XR since we launched it, and then with the recent migraine launch, and you'll see the change, obviously, in the slope and the growth. With the latest data in November, reaching 53,700 prescriptions for Trokendi XR, and a market share penetration, which is the red line on this chart, of 4.47% market share of the topiramate market. So again, we go after the immediate release topiramate market and try to switch as many of those patients to our extended release version, which is Trokendi XR. And as I mentioned earlier when I was talking about the peak potential of these products, we're only at the first stage here as far as the growth and penetration of Trokendi XR in that market with 4.7% market share. Now, as you compare our execution to other players in the market, what this chart shows actually all the products in epilepsy space that were launched since 2010 in this recent decade, they are all lined up, aligned as far as the monthly, month one, two, three, and four as far as prescriptions. And you'll see our execution has really been second to none as far as introducing Trokendi XR, which is the dark blue line, when we first introduced it in epilepsy, and then changing that slope curve even better with the migraine. So it's been really the most successful launch. And then the green line, which is about the third line in the chart, is Oxtellar XR, which is our second product. And in this space, we're competing against some of the major players in CNS, from Glaxo, UCB, Sunovion, Lundbeck, you name it, with so many more resources than we've ever had, obviously, as a small company. And as I showed you earlier, we just turned profitable in 2015. So while we were actually launching these two products, launching Supernus, because physicians didn't even know who Supernus is, we were competing, or we have two conflicting goals, which is preserve cash so we can get in at some point, become cash flow break even, and at the same time, we need every cash that we can to invest behind the products and be successful. And we've been really able to achieve that and be more than just, you know, successful, but actually some of the best launches in the industry. So that's our existing business, which again, we think it's a really a hyper-growth type of business that will take us for many years to come. Let's talk now about our exciting pipeline, which is in psychiatry. We have innovative late-stage portfolio, with the first one is SPN-810, the first treatment to be ever developed for impulsive aggression. The second one is SPN-812 as a highly effective and well-tolerated novel non-stimulant, and the Oxtellar XR novel product for bipolar. These really represent multi-billion product opportunities for us, and I'll walk you through the details. So what is impulsive aggression? As I mentioned, there is nothing approved for impulsive aggression. This is a very well-known disease. Actually, there has been many landmark papers written about impulsive aggression, and there is nothing approved for it. It's basically not planned aggression. It's not goal-oriented aggression, meaning you don't commit this aggressive act because there is a reward after that. This is impulsive. There is no reward. There is no plan behind it. It just happens because neurobiologically you need help, and it's basically a short fuse. You don't have self-control, and you have impairment of self-control. And this is very widely prevalent in ADHD. Autistic kids can be very aggressive. Schizophrenics can be very aggressive. And unfortunately, in today's world, without anything being approved and well studied for that condition, what we give these patients is sedatives, or we give them antipsychotics that are not really well designed to treat these children and cause different issues for them, metabolic changes, diabetes, weight gain, and so forth. So we're very excited about this opportunity as being the first people to actually pioneer, you know, the development of a product in the space. And actually, the FDA acknowledges that and gave us fast track designation back in 2014, you know, for this product. We are currently have phase three programs ongoing with two trials going on. So how big is this market? You know, we estimate just in the ADHD, autism, PTSD is about a $6 billion or more just in these three segments. So let me give you an idea as to how we approach it and how we think about it. So if you look at the ADHD market, it's about 67 million prescriptions back in 2017, grow it at a very nominal basis. And you look at the peak years when SPN-810 will be at peak, you're basically looking at the first line in this table, which is 95 to 110 million ADHD prescriptions written. Out of these 95 to 110 million, we will be actually promoting to physicians that represent 24 to 28 million. So these are child psychiatrists, adult psychiatrists, and top pediatricians. You apply to that the prevalence of impulsive aggression, which is in 22 to 32% based on a very big quantitative study that we did in that patient population with physicians. That will bring you down to 5 to 9 million prescriptions. And when you apply the peak market demand, which is based on 182 physicians with whom we did the surveys and the quantitative market research, they told us based on the phase 2B data that I'll share with you in a second, they think they can apply this and give this product to about 16 to 20% of their patients. Obviously, this will be at peak. So this represents about 1 million to 1.8 million prescriptions for SPN-810 at peak. And if you apply the same analysis to autism, PTSD, schizophrenia, and every other area, this is basically a $1 billion product or much more than that, you know, for Supernus. So we're very excited. It's a huge opportunity for us, and more so because obviously we're the first. We're not even aware of anybody else who's developing anything in this space. So as far as the phase 2B data, this is the dose ranging study that we did. So I'll share with you quickly the results. We did the low dose, medium, and high dose, and we had a bracket for each level in the dosing depending on the weight of the kid. So starting from 12 milligrams per day all the way to 54 at the high end. And as far as the efficacy of the product, it demonstrated efficacy across two endpoints. On the left side, you'll see the improvement versus baseline, with the low dose about 62% improvement and the medium dose 58%. And the high dose actually did not separate from placebo, which is not always unusual in CNS. You tend to have sometimes saturation of the receptor. And if you keep giving higher and higher doses, you're not necessarily getting that incremental benefit. And then on the other endpoint, which is the remission, again, low dose, medium dose, separated from placebo with very strong p-values. And remember, these studies are very small. If you look at the N here, you're looking at 25, 27 patients. So based on that, we actually took the 18 milligram and the 36 milligram into the phase 3 program. In addition to that, this drug is very well tolerated, especially at these very low levels. This is a very clean profile from a side effect point of view. For any CNS drug to have single-digit incidence of side effects, it's really amazing. So far, the data has been very, very encouraging for the product. So as I mentioned, we have two phase three programs right now going on, the 18 and 36 milligram. In September of last year, we announced results of an interim analysis. Because we didn't see a perfect linear relationship from a dose response point of view in the phase 2B study, we built into the SPA, because this is under a special protocol assessment, an interim analysis so that we can take a look at the data 50% through enrollment and see if there are any adjustments we need to make to maximize the chance of success for the study. And that's exactly what we did back in September, and we continued all the future enrollment in the 36 milligram and the placebo rate. So that's where the study is going, and we're looking at data in 1Q2019. And one very encouraging fact, actually, because we have the open label extension going on, about 90% or even more of the patients actually choose to stay on the study on this drug. It's really remarkable. It's a very positive sign. I'm not saying that means the study will be successful, but it's a very encouraging sign to see something like this, especially in CNS, you know, that kind of enrollment in the open label. So moving on now to 812, which is a novel non-stimulant product for ADHD. This used to be a very old antidepressant in Europe, viloxazine hydrochloride. It's a norepinephrine reuptake inhibitor, was never developed in the U.S., so it will be like a new chemical entity. We are building a very strong IP portfolio on the product. The same thing with 810, very similar time frames of 2029 to 2033. And so far, all the data we have on this product is very encouraging from a differentiation point of view versus existing non-stimulant products on the marketplace. If you look at the marketplace today, about 9% is non-stimulants and 91% is stimulants. Why is that? It's not because people, parents, physicians don't want non-stimulants, just because there aren't non-stimulants that really work extremely well or come close to the stimulant efficacy and because of all the side effects associated with them. So what we're hoping to have here is a truly differentiated product with an efficacy that can be as close as possible. It's very difficult to expect a non-stimulant to have an efficacy better than a stimulant, but to get it as close as possible, be highly effective, works fairly fast, and is tolerable. And we've been in this space for more than 20 years from our Shire days, so we know this space extremely well. And from what we've seen, we're very encouraged with what we've seen on 812. So we have now four phase three trials ongoing. We're studying the pediatric and adolescent at the same time. And we expect data about the end of this year, maybe 1Q 2019. So as far as the phase 2B, I'll just share with you quickly the efficacy, which was very encouraging for us. We look at 100 milligram, 200, 300, up to 400 milligram on the product, with an effect size up to 0.63 for a non-stimulant. Again, that's a very high level of efficacy behind the product. And three doses, 200 to 400, they're all separated from placebo. Looking at the tolerability, very nice tolerability profile for this drug. If you look actually at the bottom line here, which is discontinuation due to AEs, I mean, for a CNS drug, these are really good levels or low levels of discontinuation. All treatment arms together is about 6.7% discontinuation because of AEs. The highest AE you see here is the somnolence, which is up to 24%. And by comparison, if you look at the Intuniv label, you're looking at 38 to 50% actually somnolence with other non-stimulants. So a very good profile. And if we continue to generate that kind of data, again, this could be a major, major advancement in the treatment of ADHD. So as far as the potential of this product, this is very straightforward, obviously, in this case, because you can just read the ADHD prescriptions in IMS, and just assuming a very nominal 3 to 5% penetration, this can be a billion-dollar drug. And 3 to 5%, just to frame it for you, Intuniv at peak reached around 4%, Strattera about 6, 7%. So even if I assume none of the differentiating features that I talked about, if none of them actually occur, and we don't even do any way better than Intuniv or Strattera, and I assume only 3 to 5% market share penetration, this is a huge opportunity for us. So the third exciting opportunity in the pipeline is Oxtellar XR for bipolar. Today, the oxcarbazepine market, which is the drug in Oxtellar XR and in trileptal immediate release, about 50% of it is used in psychiatry, although on the label for trileptal, which is the innovative brand, and for Oxtellar XR, there is no psychiatry indication, there is no bias. It's only indicated for epilepsy. But over the years, it was used and continued to be used in a very significant way, the immediate-release oxcarbazepine. When you look at the bipolar market, it's about 53 million prescriptions on an annual basis. And the first line in that table shows the anti-epileptic drugs like oxcarbazepine, like carbamazepine, like lamotrigine, or even topiramate are actually used for bipolar. So if we only assume a 5% penetration off of that segment with Oxtellar XR, that's where I mentioned earlier the more than $300 million opportunity for us. So from a scientific, mechanistic point of view, there is no reason for us to believe that Oxcar will not work in bipolar. It's been working. Physicians have used it for years. It already, you know, makes up 50% of the prescription, and the use of oxcarbazepine is in that area. And at this point, we have an investigator trial that is going on. It's an open-label trial just to see anything specific we can observe so we can fine-tune the design of the Phase 3 program, and this will be 505B2. To add this new indication to the franchise. So very exciting opportunity for us on Oxtellar XR. And finally, I'll just close quickly with the financials. This is the third quarter results, the net product sales, which were up 40%, operating income, and then we have a very healthy cash balance sheet as of September, about 237, and no debt left on our balance sheet, and the guidance that I mentioned earlier for 2017. So as far as Supernus, the way we position ourselves, we are really a very hyper-growth company as far as Oxtellar XR, Trokendi XR, prescriptions growing in the 30 to 40%. It was really amazing, and we continue to execute on the launch of these products. These are high gross margin products, allowing us to have enough cash to continue to invest in R&D, advance both products, SPN8, 10 and 812, which are late-stage products, into the marketplace and continue to do BD activities as well for long-term growth. So with that, I'll conclude, and I'll just remind everyone also that Q&A will be in the Sussex room at 1:30. Thank you.